In Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21, we find the parable of the rich fool, who has an improper view about how to use the riches God provides. So, how should Christians avoid the mistakes that the fool made? Let's listen to part two of Pastor C. Wright's series on stewardship called The Easy Way or the Hard Way. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, Lord, we enter your presence. And Lord, we ask but one thing, and that is that your people hear from you on today. Father, I heard a fellow minister say that he is nothing but a waiter, that you are the one that creates this food, and in the process you use us to serve it to the people. So Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to help me to serve your food to your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. It's interesting that Elder Mack actually read from Colossians, the fourth chapter, and I'm actually coming from 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, but it's interesting because that was background scripture for what I'm talking about today. So God's word is God's word. Amen. Amen. But the scripture text for today is 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, and the 7th verse. The title of this message, of course, we're starting a new series, and the title of the series is Stewardship. The title of the message is Manager, Not Owner. Manager, Not Owner. And as I stated, the text is from 1 Corinthians 4th chapter 7th verse. And this is what that verse says in the New King James Version, by the way. It says, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" That is an awesome way of telling you off. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a message posted on the sign out there. And that message read, "Soul food served here." Now, the response was humorous. We had folks coming in here saying, "So, what you got, macaroni and cheese, ribs, greens? I mean, what do you, what y'all serving here?" Right? And to be honest with you, I wish that sign stayed up a bit longer. But that points me to two words that Paul used quite a bit in Scripture. And they are pneuma and soucha, or suchi. Pneuma refers to the spirit, whereas suchi refers to the flesh. And this is important in understanding how we learn biblical concepts. We learn spiritual truths by the Holy Spirit connecting to our spirits. Amen? But that flesh, which is more than the physical, but it also includes that human nature that is apart from God, that flesh, it won't connect. Amen? And being made of flesh is one thing. But being dominated by it is altogether different. Amen? But that fleshly-minded person, they don't think of life beyond sex and party and clothes and power and influence and popularity. The things of God don't mean a thing to that fleshly-minded person. That soul food sign doesn't mean a thing to a fleshly-minded person. Let me give an example just to make it even more clear. Friday night movie, right? We had Friday movie night at the church. Amen. And depending on your point of view, it was cool or it was okay. Amen. See, I've been and seen a lot of beautiful churches, spacious churches. Matter of fact, the bathrooms had lounges, right? And not only did the bathroom have lounges, but they had offices for all positions. Amen. They had places, not place, places to eat. Places to play. Amen? But we here at New Life Community, we have limited facilities. Amen? Now, from that fleshly point of view, it's not that impressive, right? But how many know that little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands? Amen. See, Barclay writes this: you can tell what a person's relationship with God is by looking at the way that person treats others. But I'm going to add to that to say that you can also tell about that person's relationship with God by viewing how they view things such as possessions, such as money, such as talent, and things of that nature. Amen. See, the movie night from a spiritual perspective was nothing less than heavenly. See, in fact, we had blown up mattresses and lawn chairs. Right? We had all those things going on. But what you saw in action was fellowship. Right? You heard the clapping of hands when God was glorified. Right? And you saw white friends and black friends, and you even saw like parents with their children. Wow. you even seen parents with their children. And then you saw parents with their grown children. Wow. Wow. At movie night. So from a spiritual view, it was heavenly. It was heavenly. And God said that if we are faithful over a few things, right? Didn't he say it and won't he do it? He said that there, he said this in Malachi. He said, try me. Try me. Test me, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. If we are just faithful over the little bit that we have, won't he do it? He'll do it. He'll do it. So now we come to this series called Stewardship. And of course, in the back of your mind, I know that you're thinking, I know you're going to talk about some money. Yeah, but that's not all. Amen? So let us tackle this by first defining stewardship. Stewardship is made up of two words. And they're Greek words. I'll spell them for you. It's O-I-K-O-S. Oikos. Meaning house. That means house. And then the second word that is made of is Nemo. Not the fish. Right? But it's N-E-M-O. Meaning administer. Right? So you get the feel here what stewardship is about. It's someone that has been left in charge to administer things in the house, right? A steward was a chief servant. He managed the affairs of the house or estate from staff all the way to other resources. But whatever amount of control that steward had, right? Whatever amount of control that he was given, the fact still remained that he was still a slave. He was still a slave. In fact, Tony Evans even added this, a steward or stewardship is the process of protecting and expanding the assets and resources of another. You hear that? It's the process of protecting and expanding the assets and resources of another. Of another. Let me be clear. If it's not clear already, you are not the owner. You are not the owner. It ain't yours. It's on loan. Amen. We have a bad case of my-itis. My money. My car. My voice. Huh? My computer skills. My speaking skills. My wife. My husband. My children. It's on loan to you. You're the steward of that. It's been given to you. Who's the owner? Well, Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it, right? He goes on to say in Psalms 50, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills, right? I know all the birds of the mountains. Do you? Right? And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. You are not the owner. This stuff is on loan to you. Get that my-itis out of here. This is God's business that you should be preoccupied with. So, with that definition in mind and then the implications that it has in mind, what should a steward be? Faithful. Faithful. Meaning worthy to be believed. True to your service, trustworthy, observant of word and promise. In other words, when you say it, people should feel as if it will be done. You should be a man of your word and a woman of your word. Amen? In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 10, it tells us that we all have at least one gift. So don't go around here thinking that you don't have a gift. You got a gift. God gives us at least one gift. But he covers all the bases in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Now, I can ask one of these deacons, and I'll use just one of them, but Deacon Darren, if I got this watch from you, and it escaped my mind that I actually borrowed it from you, and I had it that long, to a point where I feel like it's mine. So then all of a sudden you see me talking to Deacon Crisman, and I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I got this old thing. A while back ago, man. Look how it twirls and twists and it keeps good time. And Brother Darren is over there looking at me brag about my watch. My watch, right? And I'm like, oh, man, this thing, look how it go, man. I had this thing for a while. I ain't pay much for it. Now, Deacon Darren, would you be in your feelings? I think you would be, right? Right? That's what we do to God on a daily basis. On a daily, we act as if it's mine. We act as if it's ours. We do it to him on a daily basis. See, we push our agenda rather than his agenda. Tony Evans said, we push our kingdom rather than his kingdom, right? When we should be about his kingdom agenda rather than ours. Back to 1 Peter, 4th chapter in that 10th verse. If you read it, it'll say this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And he followed it with an amen. Right? God gave you a gift for the church. He gave you a gift for the church. God uses these gifts as channels to distribute his grace to the church. Now tell me this, what kind of thinking do you have if you turn off the faucet to that gift? You have a gift and you deliberately turn off the faucet and that channel can't be used to grace his church because somebody looked at you sideways. You want to like just turn it off? Because we didn't give you time to do your song? You want to turn it off? That's what you want to do? Please. Please. How do you sleep at night, man of God? And how do you enjoy a beautiful day that God gave you, woman of God? And children, how do you concentrate on getting good grades when you are not helping God's agenda? How? How, church? How can you function as if everything is good when God has given you a gift and you're busy turning it off? turning off the faucet. We want to open that faucet up and let that gift flow so that this church can be blessed. Can be blessed. Now, why are we emphasizing faithfulness? Well, because one day you will be judged. You are going to be judged, right? And in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 5, you'll read this. But with me, this is Paul speaking to ministers, and in a sense, we're all ministers. It says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Paul is telling us here that there are three judges, or three ways that you will be evaluated. People will evaluate you. People will evaluate you. Now, if you are preoccupied with people's evaluation, then guess what you will slowly become? A man pleaser. A man pleaser. And I know very few folks that please God and man. At some point, you are going to have to make a stand and take a stand. What Paul's response is to people evaluating him, he says, but with me, it is a very small thing. It's a very small thing. Oh, and then there's another judge, second judge, and that is yourself. Now, come on. You judging you? Huh? Left up to you. You're not gifted. You're the gift. Right? Left up to you, and you ain't gifted. You're the gift. It's me. Right? If you got an F, who would give themselves an F? Huh? In anything they do. In fact, if it is an F, it'll be an F with an explanation. Right? Let me explain how it happened. Right? Right? And you're gonna do all you can to move that F to a F plus. Right? Let me explain. Right? But what he says about evaluating himself, he said, in fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. No. Because there is a greater judge than people and than myself, Paul said. And that's the third one, and that is God. He says, one day we are going to have to stand before God. And it's called that Bema seat, right? That Bema seat. And this is serious business. Because at that Bema seat, you will either get reward for what you have done, or you will suffer loss for mismanagement. You hear that word I just said? Mismanagement is not yours. You will suffer loss due to your mismanagement. Right? See, there is a difference between responsibility and accountability. Trust me, you're going to have both when you stand before him. See, responsibility can be shared. Just like with this ministry here at New Life, it's a shared thing. You understand? It's a shared thing. But accountability, that's all on you. When you come before him, that accountability, you can't share accountability. You are going to answer for you, right? In fact, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 9 through 10, it reads this: "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." Listen to this: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Listen to this: "That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." You're going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer. And church, this is an introduction to stewardship. You're not the owner. You're required to be faithful, because you will be judged, and you're going to be held accountable as well as responsible. You know, there's a story that's told of a converted man. He was converted to Christ. He was a drunk that was converted to Christ. And his co-workers tried to shake him. They tried to shake his faith. They constantly chided the converted man, and they would say to him, "Surely a smart man like you, you don't believe that Jesus turned water into wine. Surely you don't believe that, do you?" And the converted man in response said, "Whether he turned water into wine or not, I do not know. But I do know this: in my house, I have seen him turn beer into furniture." Church, we're about changing lives here. We're about changing lives here. When somebody is going towards the direction of hell, we're trying to get them to go to heaven, right? When somebody is all about thinking wrong, we're trying to get them to think right. We're about change here. And I implore you, I beg you all, to change your perspective about the talents you have, about the time that you've been blessed with, and about the money that you receive. I ask that you change your perspective about it. The church needs you. The church needs you. But let me tell you, God can do it without you. God can do it without you. But he has equipped every last one of you with a gift. With a gift. What are you going to do with that gift? When he gave you the gift for the church in the first place, not for you, what you going to do? What you going to do? Because one day you're going to have to answer.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.